Before we kick off this episode of the RHAP Rewind, talking about an episode of MTV Made about being a celebrity assistant, I just want to remind our listeners that it is the start of a brand new month of April, and it is the best time to jump in and become a patron of Rob Has a Podcast, because you help support all of your favorite podcasts that we are working on for you. And also, the beginning of the month is the best time to try on being a patron, because if you don't like it, you can cancel before the end of the next month. We have a ton of great content in our patron podcast feed, the Patron 5 for 5, where I go behind the scenes with the First Lady of podcasting. We do a weekly patron feedback show, weekly patron activities. And because I want to get to know all of our newest members, you could take part in our orientation meetup call that I'm doing the last Tuesday of the month, where our newest patrons can ask any questions about how to access any of their patron benefits, say hello, whatever you want to ask, come on, and I'll be there for a couple hours meeting with our patrons on the final Tuesday night of the month for our new patrons. Find out about everything we have going on over at robhasawebsite.com/patron. That's robhasawebsite.com/patron. Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino back here for another week on the RHAP Rewind. I'm very excited to have back with us a man who is along with me for the ride to go back into the time machine and watch all these old shows. It's the great Chappelle. Chappelle, how are you?
Rob, I am good. And, you know, this is the first rewind I've done with you where I am the only guest. So yes. I can't lie. I'm a little nervous. I don't know how this is going to go. We don't have anybody to be a buffer between the two of us.
Why? Do you feel like that we need a buffer?
I don't think we need a buffer. We just haven't done it before. So I'm very interested to see how this is going to
be great. I'm very excited. And of course, if you missed us last week, we talked with AJ Mass about a show called Work of Art that was on Bravo. And we said that we don't want to make more work for the listeners. Got a lot of feedback like, hey, Rob, you know, I like Rob as a podcast, but I don't need to be listening to three or four or watching three or four old shows a week just to listen to one of your podcasts. And we hear you. So what we're doing is we are bouncing around through time. Chappelle, he's seen everything. So every week we're going to watch a different episode of a show from the history of reality TV. Sometimes it might be the first episode. Other times it might be the best episode. So if you have feedback for us of a show that we should watch, let us know on Twitter and we will queue it up here on the RHAP Rewind. How about that, Chappelle?
It sounds good. Yeah, I don't know if today's episode is the best episode of this particular show, but I think it'd be entertaining and it was available online. So again, if you have suggestions and you can find it online, that would, you know, greatly assist me and, you know, being able to tell people what to watch
today.
Yeah, I mean, look here. It's hard enough finding these old reality TV shows because a lot of people are embarrassed that they exist. We see some of the like grimiest things in the old, you know, Wild West of reality TV. And so a lot of this stuff has been scrubbed from the internet. So If you have a show and an episode that you would like to see, if you can find it, please send that to us, because allowing us to just kind of like search for it is not going to be beneficial to getting one of your faves heard. And we definitely want to talk about your faves.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Today, we're going to be talking about a show that is available on Paramount Plus, of course, formerly CBS All Access. It is an MTV show called Made. Today, we're going to be looking at season 12, episode 15 of Made, of the job that somebody's going to be made into is a celebrity assistant today. Chappelle, can you tell us about Made?
Yeah. So I watched Made almost, oh gosh, I probably watched it from the beginning. Rob, I really should start looking back at my childhood and wonder where it all went wrong. Mm-hmm. But I think Made was starting like 2002. And it's a show basically that takes teens normally and like puts them in a situation where they can be made into their goal, like their, whatever they aspire to be in life. They bring in a coach. MTV will bring a coach to the person's school or to their home and says, hey, give me a month and I will transform you into whatever you want to be and help you achieve your goal. And so Made was on for, I think, 15 seasons, honestly. Mm-hmm. There was like Maid, then there was Super Maid, then there was Maid Dream Bigger. They moved away from the high school kids a little bit and then moved into the college students. And so Maid is just one of those shows that it's kind of just in the MTV lexicon of just, you know, reality TV shows that almost were just like always there. And so I watched it week to week. Sometimes I would skip a season and watch another season because they always brought in new, interesting, not so much interesting people, but they also brought in interesting professions and goals for these people to make. So if you had an interest, there's a Maid episode for you. Like if someone wanted to be an athlete, there's a Maid episode for you. Like, oh, I want to be Maid into a basketball player or a dancer or, you know, or something like that, or a celebrity assistant like today's episode. And so, yeah, Maid was just one of those things that I could just go home, kind of watch. It's low stress and you get to see people kind of put to the test to see if they, you know, have what it takes to do what their dream job is. And I really enjoyed it.
Chappelle, when you used to watch MTV Maid back in the day, what did you dream that they would call you up and say, Chappelle, all right, it's your episode of Maid. What are you going to be?
Oh, wow. You know, I should have foresaw this coming. I should have known that you were going to ask this question. Because when I was younger, I had like big dreams. I remember when I was a child, I wanted to be an astronaut, but I'm not good at math or science. Mm-hmm. So that went out the window. And then at one point I wanted to be like a writer, but I also, you know, I'm not very smart. And so that wasn't something that was going to go for me because words kind of escape me sometimes. Mm-hmm. The listeners will know this.
You write on Twitter all the time.
Oh, I am a good tweeter. Mm-hmm. That's all I can do though. And then you can delete those and you know, put them in your drafts. You can workshop them. So I don't know. I feel like back then it was something like interesting, definitely something out of the box. I've never been like someone who kind of, like I've always marched to the beat of my own drum. I've been a little left of center, some would say.
Sometimes literally, right?
A little bit. Yeah. And so, if you catch me in college, yeah, a little bit. So, maybe at the time it was probably a podcaster. Maybe they wanted me to be.
Wow. What would that episode look like?
I would bring in my podcasting coach, Rob Sestanino.
I would be the podcasting coach.
Aren't you my podcasting coach?
Well, I'm just saying on Maid, that would I be the best person for this?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Is it always somebody who's like a drill sergeant who's going to come in and be like, hey, like you want to be a podcaster?
Yeah. It's not always someone who's aggressive, but it's always someone with like a chip on their shoulder. Like rarely do you get the person who comes in and is like, you know what? I'm going to coddle you through this. I think the point of the show is to like, see if you can cut it, you know, and if it's podcasting, it's not going to be regular podcasting, you know, tasks that you have to figure out. It's like, how do you podcast in a thunderstorm with one, you know, with a broken microphone on, you know,
the like screaming kids. Yeah.
Right. On an Acer laptop with screaming kids in the background. You know, they want to see if you have what it takes to stick it out because it's a lot more entertaining. And so, yeah, maybe that's what it was. I don't know, Rob. Rob, can you think back to your high school days and think of what you would have wanted to be made into?
Popular.
Well, you did it.
Yeah.
I don't know if you needed a coach for that.
As far as a job, I would say probably a game show host is really what I wanted to be.
Yeah. So for the people who aren't familiar with Maid, what we would do then is Rob would say, I want to be made into a game show host. And then me being the producer at MTV, I would call Bob Barker and Bob Barker would show up and be like, Rob, come on down, you know, like, and wow. And then he would say, oh, okay. And then he would, you know, take Rob through like, here are the ins and outs of the industry. Here's what you need to know to be a good one. You know, here's what you need to know to be a bad one. Like Pat Sajak, and then you can move on and, you know, be the game show host you want to be, you know, in your life. And then they'll give you a task like, now you have to host a game show at school, you know, because it was primarily for high school kids. So that's the concept of Maid.
Chappelle, could you give us some iconic Maid episodes?
Sure. So because Maid was on for 15 seasons, there are so many. Like I remember this kid named Jordan wanted to be like a triathlete. Oh, but there's a lot of, so we talked about Beauty and the Geek a couple weeks ago. Yes. There's a lot of that on Maid. Like, let's take this scrawny person, not unlike myself in high school, and make them into like a ladies' man, or make them into, you know, the star athlete. They like the transformation part, right? Like from zero to hero, or from beauty to geek, you know, whatever they're going with. So there was a lot of that going on. I remember pageant queens and people wanted to be, oh, oh my gosh, they love making white people rap. They're like, yeah. Do you want to be a rapper? Let's find the nerdiest white girl and make her a rapper or a hip hop dancer. That was kind of MTV's bag back then.
So
for me.
I'm looking at a list of the best 14 made episodes. Ooh. And that the two of the top three are rapper.
it's kind of like the normal, like that's their easiest go-to because rap is so popular. And there's a comedian that once said, you know, nobody wants to be black, but everybody wants to be black at the same time. It's one of those things, like it's so popular in like in the culture of, you know, America, and that people like feel like, oh, this brings me clout or popularity. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, it's easy to find people who want to be a rapper because we all use words. So, you know, you think, oh, okay, I can string them together. The problem with rap is that it's highly subjective, but yeah. It's also like very like skilled and nuanced and you know, and it takes a lot to be a rapper, and it takes a lot to make it believable. And I don't know if Made ever hit the mark on that. So mm-hmm. Yeah, that's definitely one of them. I think I remember somebody who wanted to be in a metal band.
Yeah.
Like one of those like screaming bands. Mm-hmm. I don't want to disrespect any metal fans, but like I think Death Clock or something like that.
I see one Metal Screamer is on this list.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I remember that. Her parents were not having it. Not having it at all. But yeah, it's that kind of thing. They want to put people out of their comfort zone and just see what they can do with them in a span of 45 minutes for television.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So this episode that we're talking about, this is about a guy named Chris. Chris is, he wants to be a celebrity assistant. This seems like a very specific thing that he wants, to be the celebrity assistant.
Yeah. So Chris says, hey, I went to college for communication and I want to open a PR firm. And I want to like do events for people. And I think being a celebrity assistant will give me the knowledge and the skills to do that very well. But honestly, you kind of get the vibe from this episode that Chris just wants to meet celebrities. You know, he's just here to kind of hobnob and like rub elbows with the upper crust of society. What do you think, Rob?
Yeah, I mean, he did not really seem to want to work. I mean, he seems like that. He's like very like adversarial with the basically like the Mr. Miyagi type teacher that they send to him to learn the ways of the celebrity assistant. So he did not really seem to take to it. I mean, it works out by the end, but yeah, he does not. He feels like that a lot of the things that he gets to do are, I feel like, beneath him.
Yeah. See, it's like Chris didn't know what a celebrity assistant does, because when I was in high school, and that's another thing, this is Made Dream Bigger. So Chris is in college. When I was in high school, that's when they were airing like the high school episodes of Made. And I knew as a high school student that celebrity assistants had to do the stuff. They had to do the dirty work. They did the things that the celebrities were too good to do, you know, in quotation marks. And so it seemed like Chris wasn't aware that you would be doing menial tasks. Like, I don't know if he knew what a celebrity assistant actually did. Like, I think in his mind, he was more like, you know, like, I'm the person who books venues for this person.
Mm-hmm.
But in reality, it's I have to take care of their, you know, their laundry and do their tasks from day to day and, you know, do the things they don't want to do.
Yeah.
And it was kind of a shock for him. And he didn't really take well to it at first.
Chappelle, do you feel like that the occupation of celebrity assistant is more popular or less popular than it was 10 years ago?
Whew. I don't know. I think it was more popular 10 years ago because it was almost like that is my gateway to being with one of these celebrities and being next to one and getting to experience the life they experience. Hell, now I can just tweet you. You know, mm-hmm. Like, I can just see if, you know, Ethan Embry wants to talk to me on Twitter one day and see what happens.
Did you apply
right?
to be Ethan Embry's celebrity assistant?
I would have. If he wanted me to like, you know, like I can like make his Pop-Tarts in the morning or something, I would have did that. I don't care. But yeah, I think it's so much more attainable to get in touch with these people and to reach out and to kind of live the lifestyle that they're living. Also, fame is so much like you can just grab it out of nowhere now. You know, TikTok famous, Vine famous, YouTube famous. Anybody could be famous and need an assistant tomorrow. Whereas in the early 2000s, it was like, if you weren't on television, then, you know, how were you going to break into this industry? And so, yeah, I think back then it was popular. But now people are like, no, not really. I don't have to do that.
Yeah. Do we know how Chris is doing, who is the protagonist of this episode of Made? I tried to look him up, but I couldn't find him.
Yeah, no, I searched for hours and I have nothing on Chris. I don't even think that, I don't know if they said his last name. Did you get it? But I looked and I have nothing. I highly doubt he's still a celebrity apprentice. I mean, you know, apprentice, assistant. After all this time, he did not go on to be on the Celebrity Apprentice or the Apprentice proper. And so I don't think he ever got there to where he was like working for someone, you know, highbrow or something. But you'll never know, because the thing with assistants is that they're not supposed to be seen. They're just supposed to handle the business in the background. It's all about the celebrity. Right. And I think Chris might have wanted to be a celebrity instead.
Yeah, you think so? Because he did not like go on to seemingly like become like a big publicist or anything like that.
Yeah. And I think the people who want to be celebrity assistants ultimately want to be celebrities. I mean, one of the most famous celebrity assistants would be Kim Kardashian. Mm-hmm. She was assistant to Miss Paris Hilton. Mm-hmm. And now she is way more famous than Miss Paris Hilton. No disrespect to Miss Paris Hilton, but she has surpassed her in fame and probably money. And it came from her time as an assistant. There was times where Kim Kardashian was on Paris Hilton's reality TV show. Mm-hmm. It just seemed like that was the natural progression. Like, if I can get close to this person, I can meet other people, and then I could just end up in these spaces to where maybe I could talk myself into a room, or, you know, get to hang out with some of the people who I admire. And I think that's what Chris was going for.
I feel like the idea of the celebrity assistant was like a very much like an early 2000s type of thing. I think you had things like, didn't Andy Dick have the assistant reality show? And I feel like that during like the Entourage era, like I feel like that just sort of like from like 2000 to 2010, I feel like that there was a lot of attention paid to the job of the celebrity assistant.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about what it said, this was made started in 2002. Andy Dick was like 2004, right? And so Andy Dick's reality show, The Assistant, was literally him just coming up with absurd tasks and like having these people do it so that they could be the next assistant. So yeah, it was very much a legitimate like life path for people. I just don't know if there's any room for it in society today, because Andy Dick was putting those people through the ringer. Like, this guy that we have as a maid coach this time, he's nothing compared to Andy Dick.
Okay. All right. So Chris wants to be a celebrity assistant. He gets the call. He's going to go to Los Angeles, and he gets picked up at the airport by BJ. BJ is a person who is a publicist. Is that right?
Yeah. So BJ Coleman is the starter of the Coleman Entertainment Group. And yeah, basically a publicist, but his backstory is that BJ started off as a assistant. You know, and it led him to have this like star-studded clientele to where he's moved up through the ranks to where now he, you know, manages his own entertainment group. And I'm sure he's like the manager to a bunch of like really big celebrities today. But yeah, from his point of view, he started where Chris was at and he worked his way up. And so now he's here to help Chris navigate that pathway.
I'm looking at him on LinkedIn.
Oh, yeah. What you got on the LinkedIn?
LinkedIn. He's the president of the Coleman Entertainment Group.
There you go.
There you go.
Yeah. He's famous in his own right. So he was very shocked that Chris didn't recognize him instantly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so he's going to come in and, you know, he's really going to put Chris through it. He comes in and basically tells Chris that, you know, he is going to start doing stuff. And basically he is acting like the de facto celebrity. And then having Chris work for him, he's going to ask for a coffee order. And Chris is hating this from the start.
Yeah. So a little backstory about Chris. Chris seems to have come from a family with some money.
Yeah.
They like to go to Chris's home where he has multiple siblings. Yeah. He has a very rich father, and his father has multiple wives at different times in his life. And Chris seems to come from a level of privilege. Not to say that we all don't to some extent, but Chris seems very well off. And so I have to imagine that this might have been Chris's first time ever buying a coffee for someone who wasn't himself.
So, Chris struck me as kind of a almost like a Colton Cumby from Survivor.
Yeah, it was the polo shirt. Yeah, they give strong polo shirt vibes and it's very similar energy. Yeah, he seems like I come from a position where I was more well off. And now you're asking me to do something that's almost beneath me and buying you this coffee order. And I think BJ knows that. I think BJ has identified that Chris is not used to this, and I'm going to throw this at him just to see how he deals with it. Do you remember what BJ's coffee order was?
No, I do not.
He ordered a grande soy caramel macchiato in a venti cup and a tall coffee in a grande cup with extra milk, extra hot. Mm-hmm. I just don't understand why you would need both of these coffees, that amount of coffee, you know, in general, but then you made them extra hot. I guess you intend on drinking them both today. Neither of these coffees were for Chris. So in my mind, BJ just made this up to see if Chris would be able to do it.
Yeah, he's given him a complicated coffee order so he can go there and then because that's, I think that's a big part of the celebrity assistant job of being able to get the coffee order right.
Yeah. I remember back in the Paris Hilton days, she had a dog that she would carry around in a little bag. And I'm sure her assistant probably, Kim Kardashian, or whatever assistant she had at the time, probably had to like make sure the dog was groomed and make sure the dog had its little coffee as well, because Paris had to have hers. So getting people's Starbucks order correct or all this these stereotypes, that was something that was very alive and well in the 90s, like, oh, this celebrity's a diva. They only want blue M&Ms, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And so I think, BJ was trying to make sure that Chris was ready for the task in front of him.
Yes. BJ also is friends with Kim K, and he also took internships with Queen Latifah and Naomi Campbell.
Yes, Queen Latifah, the Dana Owens. She's been coming up so much on RJP. I don't know if you keep up with all the Queen Latifah mentions in the last couple weeks, but She's out here. I think Kamora Simmons was another one of his high-end clientele as well. BJ, he's been around and he's like, okay, well, I'm trying to show you what it is. But BJ is no nonsense.
Yes.
Very much comes in. He tells Chris that, oh, why are you wearing sweatpants? First of all, Chris just got off the plane. I don't think that I've ever been on a plane where I didn't wear sweatpants, ever. And Chris gets off the plane in sweatpants and BJ is like, oh no, that's disgusting. You need to change clothes. This is LA.
Yeah.
And I have to know, Rob, you live in California. You live in the LA area.
Yeah.
Is it like that? Do you feel like you have to change clothes? You can't wear sweatpants at the airport?
Do you think I leave my house?
Will you go to airport sometime?
Yeah. No, I will wear jeans usually on a plane, but I'm not dressed that nice anywhere I go. The BJ says, okay, you need to change. So we're going to a gas station. You go change in the gas station. I'll change in the limo. That's what I do. But you change in the gas station. And Chris was not happy about this.
He sends him into a random Texaco. You know, it's just like, go in there and change. And he's looking at, first of all, let's just go back a little bit. Chris has no clue who BJ is. And BJ has not yet told him that. He's just like, go do these things because I'm telling you to, because you're on maid now. And so a part of Chris is a little incredulous because Chris comes from, you know, a level of privilege where he's not used to having random people tell him what to do. He's probably never changed in a gas station before. And so BJ is like, just go handle that. I will sit in the limo and live the life of luxury and you come out when I'm ready for you. Mm-hmm. And so he made him change clothes instantly because they were on their way to their first challenge. He just got off the plane and they're already on to the first task.
So, they're going to go to the MTV Movie Awards, and we got a lot of 2012 stars walking down the red carpet, and Chris has to, now he's not so much a celebrity assistant, he's like a paparazzi.
Yeah, so do you call the people on the red carpet asking the questions paparazzi, or
I guess like sort of like an interviewer,
Yeah, so I think this part of the challenge was just basically, Chris, you want to be a celebrity assistant, you need to find a celebrity. And so Chris is just out there kind of watching these, you know, these megastars walk past him. I saw Janelle Monáe at some point. Mm-hmm. Charlize Theron pays him no attention at all, a South African queen. And I think, was it Mario Lopez was the first one who even looked in his direction?
Yes. But BJ is like Chris, You're sucking right now. None of these celebrities are talking to you. And he's like, you better try harder. How are you going to be an assistant if you can't even get a celebrity to answer your questions? And he's like, oh, Mario Lopez. Can you tell me, what does he ask him? What are you looking for an assistant? And Mario Lopez, says that his assistant, got in a car accident. Hope, Mario Lopez's assistant is okay.
Yeah, you care, but Mario Lopez does not seem to care because he says, well, I'm looking for an assistant who can drive because mine got in a car accident. Like, Mario Lopez, your assistant could be in like peril right now. We don't know what the status of this accident is. It wasn't his fault. I'm not the biggest Mario Lopez fan, but this was definitely a demerit, you know? Yeah. Like, he's a guy. He's very famous as well. You know, I don't know him personally, but this was like, you know, I didn't love that.
Didn't love it.
Yeah. If I'm running around doing all your menial tasks, you can at least pretend to care if I get in a car accident.
Well, did you crash my car, Chappelle?
Did he drive Mario Lopez's car? Mm-hmm. That's what we need to know. We need to know the details of this. I wonder if this has been documented. I'm going to reach out on Twitter.
The LMFAO is there. Just for some advice on what to do. LMFAO is going to stick to the script. They tell him to wiggle.
Yes. Thank you, LMFAO, for that. That's going to help. It's like, thank you. See, this show, the goal is to talk about these celebrities as divas who need like people to do their work for them.
Yeah.
And if nothing else makes you look like a diva, it's definitely like completely ignoring someone's question and just giving them some stock answer so you can move on with your life. Mm-hmm. Not to say that these celebrities are required to speak to Chris, but come on, man. You could have done better than that.
He talks to Amber Rose, who gives him some advice.
I believe Amber Rose's advice was, don't F it up.
Don't F up.
Very RuPaulish. Yeah. Don't F up. It's not bad advice.
It is good advice. He talks to Lucy Hale also.
Rob, are you familiar with Lucy Hale?
I'm not.
Lucy Hale was one of those contestants on one of those like American Idol style shows, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
American Juniors or something, right? And she is, I think it was like a team ended up winning, like four girls and then one kid, guy. And he, and they like became like a super group, quote, like, in question mark. I've never heard them actually sing any songs or anything, but I know that's where she started. But she got her like real claim to fame at Pretty Little Liars.
Yes.
A show that went on for way too long, just like Maid, based on a book. It was not as long as the series. I still don't know who A is. I think A is like 15 different people. I just know the commercial was on my entire life. So that's how I know Lucy Hale.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then he talks to Victoria Justice.
Yeah. Are you familiar with the show Victorious?
No.
Me neither. And so Victorious, I believe, was a Nickelodeon show or a Disney show. For anybody who's out here fact checking us, but Victoria Justice, I believe, was the first person who gave him something that he could actually work with, because she says, "I don't have an assistant actually. Do you want to be my assistant? Like, do you need, like, Chris is like, well, do you need an assistant? I'm an assistant." She's like, "Sure, give me your card." And Chris, of course, being that he just got off the plane 40 minutes ago, he doesn't have one.
Yeah, doesn't have a card
at all. So he failed the first task and didn't even know it.
So they go to a commercial and they come back and Chris is like looking for something. What is he trying to do? Like, is he trying to get a card to Victoria Justice?
No. So what happens is there is an actress named Molly Tarlov. I believe her name is pronounced. She is from the show Awkward on MTV, which probably had too many seasons as well. I don't know. I never watched it. It wasn't for me. But she has a stuffed animal, like the stuffed dog. I can't remember his name. I'm going to call him Skippy. And she has Skippy the dog. And she says, look, because she really has no task for Chris. Let's be very clear. Chris says, like, what do you want from your assistant? And she's like, I don't really do that. I think what she's trying to tell him is, I'm not a big enough celebrity for what you're looking for right now. Like, I don't have the diva mentality, but I'll make something up for you. So she tells him, hey, I have this stuffed animal. And this stuffed animal I'd like to bring with me to award shows on the red carpet and stuff like that. And I left it at home. Could you go get me a similar stuffed animal? So Chris's task is to go find another stuffed dog to bring to Molly so that she will be comfortable at the award show. And so that's where he's doing after the commercial break.
Okay. So he's going around trying to find his way in and then he can't get back in.
He could get in, kind of, but he doesn't even know like how to find her. Like, you go to the MTV Awards, I'm assuming, and you're looking around for one kind of celebrity. You know, no offense to her, but I'm sure she wasn't the biggest name there.
Mm-hmm.
And he can't find her. He didn't get her phone number. He didn't get any way of reaching her. So he's just walking around with a stuffed dog.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's his big issue. It's not that he couldn't go find a dog. It's that even now that I've gone and got it, I would love to know how he got a hold of this stuffed dog though in this moment, but they don't really show that. But now that he's got it, how does he get it to her? Where is she sitting? How do you find this person? Yeah. And I don't think he knows well.
He doesn't know. And BJ is not happy. And Chris is losing his patience with BJ.
Chris is very, very like snarky about this whole dog thing. Like he's like, I don't like to fail. BJ is not the nicest either. BJ is like, the dog is too small. You didn't find the person anyway. You didn't get her number. Like, you basically just, you know, you just pissed this whole challenge away almost. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Chris isn't taking it well. Chris does not like to fail. That's kind of his personality trait that we're given. We know that he's kind of well off. And when it comes to, like, you know, his funds and his lifestyle, he's not someone who is used to doing things like this for other people. But also, he really likes to achieve. And this is not working out for him.
Yeah. What do you think? Enneagram 3, Chappelle?
I think he wants to be an Enneagram 3. Like, no. I think in his mind, he's an Enneagram 3. But nobody likes to fail. So, you know, he's just not doing well with some of the feedback he's getting from BJ.
Yeah, because he's blowing up at BJ constantly.
Yeah. And it's crazy that he's giving BJ so much sass. Like, he's like, every time BJ has something to tell him, which BJ is not being kind either. A lot of times he's just saying what it is, kind of being very straightforward and blunt. But Chris has something to say to him, you know, in response all the time. Like, he just can't take the feedback. He has to, you know, like, almost dispute it or, like, you know, contradict it in a way. And even though that dynamic is present amongst the, you know, between the two of them in this moment that they just met the same day, BJ says that Chris's real issue is that he needs confidence. Now, I call shenanigans with that because I don't think there's a more confident person than Chris. I just think he probably needs to slow down and get a hold of his task and maybe humble himself a little bit.
I think to be a great celebrity assistant, I think you need less confidence.
Yeah, almost. Yeah, you almost have to realize that some of this isn't above me because these celebrities, although you are free to have as much pride in yourself and to, you know your self-worth, but these celebrities can find someone else who does not very quickly and they can replace you. And so if you want this job, you have to be willing to do the things that BJ is asking you to do. And I think Chris just hadn't put himself in a position where he was willing to do that yet. And so this was really, this was his first obstacle in becoming a celebrity assistant.
All right. So BJ is going to take Chris out to lunch and they're going to go down to a newsroom and they're going to be looking for paparazzi. Because that's where you're going to find some good celebrities around there.
Yeah, they said, was it Robertson Boulevard? I think
it's Robertson, yeah.
I mean, Rob, this is your neck of the woods. You don't find yourself dodging paparazzi.
What do you think, I'm hanging out there?
I just feel
that's
you
where
might
I'm having
dodged,
lunch?
Might have dodged paparazzi on Robertson Boulevard. I don't know. I'm from Texas. I've been to L.A. like twice. So you tell me, is this like, no, I'm not, is this like a
the, yeah, the paparazzi are dodging me. I think.
Well, look, they're dodging Chris at this moment too.
Yeah, please get out of the way. You're in our shot.
Like, please, sir. We meant Boston, Rob. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get it. So they go to lunch, and his task is, well, I think the concept is because this is Robertson Boulevard, the paparazzi is all over the place. Like, you can't throw a camera without hitting a paparazzi person, you know. And he says, Chris, go find one and ask them if they'll be willing to take pictures of us. Or pictures for us. And Chris goes out into the street. And for me, from my point of view, it looked like he wasn't really trying that hard. Because I could see people with cameras all over the place. I was like, I could find a paparazzi person. Mm-hmm. But Chris just didn't seem interested in speaking to any of them.
No. And then when he came back, BJ was in the middle of talking to a paparazzo.
Right. And his Chris's thing is like, oh, thank God, BJ, you found paparazzi for me. Thank you so much. BJ's like, no, I was just talking to people. You go away. You were supposed to do your task. Chris likes cutting corners. I don't think he doesn't mind too much, like, kind of like, you know, breaking the rules to get what he needs to get done. Like, again, I don't really think he knew what he was getting himself into.
Yeah. He starts to cry.
Yeah. He says, like, oh, it's really hard to find paparazzi. And, like, he starts to break down a little bit because he can't find the five photographers who will take pictures. And BJ is not the most sympathetic to him. So it was one of those things that, like, Chris doesn't come off the most likable person in the beginning, because again, he kind of gives you an air of
incredibly unlikable.
Yeah. Some would say very unlikable, almost rooting against this guy.
Yes.
And and so it's kind of like, but to see him kind of break, it's like, okay, look, he's still a human. He's like 20 years old. You know, I get it. This is new for you, but you're a lot of this punishment you're doing to yourself. Like, if you could just step outside of what your preconceived notion about what this job is going to be, you might actually learn something and enjoy yourself. But I think he just couldn't get past the fact that BJ wasn't just giving him what he wanted.
For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com. Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
So, Chappelle, there is going to be a big celebrity sighting on Robertson. They are going to find one of the biggest celebrities in the world is hanging out having lunch over on Robertson. Oh, my God. Is that David Hasselhoff?
It is. It is David Hasselhoff, which I guess back, like, years ago. Yeah. Sure.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is a good celebrity to pick. I mean, he is a world renowned celebrity. Let's be very clear. David Hasselhoff made an incredible name for himself. I don't know if that is very similar now. I don't know if he would get that same reaction, but this was a big deal. My question is, Rob, do you think David Hasselhoff was in on the bit?
Yeah, I think he definitely was. He was a plant, because he's going to loom large in the second half of the episode. I kind of feel like that David Hasselhoff was kind of like having like a moment like around like 2012. Like, do you remember when he showed up in the Big Brother 13 house?
I do. Do you remember? Was it Hooked on a Feeling when he had his like his song resurgence where he released?
I think he had a show that was on CBS like that mm-hmm. was going to be about like a. People, was it the celebrities that either had the same name or were like they had like a celebrity like working in the supermarket?
Yeah, I vaguely remember that. I think that David Hasselhoff has done a really good job of kind of staying relevant in like waves. And I think this was around the time when he was doing another one of those, you know, like we know him from, you know, Knight Rider and Baywatch. But, you know, he made sure he was still relevant well into the 2000s.
Yeah, I'm trying to see. So I'm looking at his IMDb, some Uh-oh. IMDb IMDb bags for David Hasselhoff. So yeah, in 2012, he had like, I think there was a lot of things that he was appearing in,
mm-hmm.
Including Piranha 3DD.
Oh, how could I forget that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
I definitely forgot that. Yeah, I think he released an album in the 2000s as well. So yeah. Hooked on a Feeling might have been like in like the 90s, but like he releases his album and comes back and like he has no issue getting on the charts. I think I wonder if David Hasselhoff is one of those people who whatever he does will do relatively well because of his name, just name recognition alone. Mm-hmm. And I mean worldwide. Like, he's going to chart in Switzerland. So, you know, I wonder if he was just kind of like in one of those moods where, yeah, I'm doing a lot of stuff right now and I could use the TV time. So here he is on Made, hanging out for Chris to walk up to him and you know, kind of solicit his help.
Yeah. Okay. So Chris is going to then ask the Hasselhoff if he needs an assistant. He says, well, I already have an assistant, but does your assistant need an assistant?
That, honestly, this might be Chris's like shining moment. That was such a good pivot because, like, I already have an assistant. Most people would probably say, oh, okay, well, you know, sorry for bothering you. But Chris is like, look, I'll assist anybody at this point. I'm just tired of walking up and down the street and I'm tired of BJ, you know, like berating me with random tasks and things. So yeah, the Hoff says, you can assist my assistant. Let me get your number. And so he takes his number and goes back to BJ and he's so excited. Chris is like, I did it. I finally did it.
But Chappelle, I think that Hasselhoff was in on it. I think that he was, because they're going to have that whole party at the end, spoiler alert. And so I think that Hasselhoff is prepared to then tell, like, I don't think he just likes, oh, I like the cut of this kid's jib. Let's bring him in. He'll be the assistant to my assistant.
You mean to tell me his assistant didn't need an assistant, Rob? You think Hasselhoff's assistant wouldn't need
an assistant? How busy is David Hasselhoff in 2012?
Apparently very, 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 very.
Needs an assistant.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure your assistants could use an assistant sometime, you know? And no offense to you, Rob, but you know Hasselhoff. So I can imagine maybe this is not. Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah.
I can imagine this might not be a plant, but it's giving me strong plant vibes. This is shenanigans.
Yes, I definitely huge shenanigans on Hasselhoff here. But so he gets or he gives his information to Hasselhoff and BJ like calls him out. He says, you fool. You gave away your power. You don't get to give your information away. You get the information.
Look, I've been there.
Yeah.
BJ is speaking the truth. Sometimes when you shoot your shot, you got to make sure that the ball is in your court, okay? Mm-hmm. You cannot give somebody else the ball because what if they never use the number? It's always, let me get your number. Let me get your Twitter account. How about I DM you right now so we can start the conversation? Mm-hmm. This is right up my alley. So BJ, as rude as BJ is coming off to Chris right now, I actually agree with him on this one. Yeah. Like you don't want to just leave it in somebody else's hands to get in contact. You want to be front of mind.
But what do you say to David Hasselhoff? Let me get your contact info.
Let's exchange contact information. How about I text you my number right now? You know, like, look, the game has changed, Rob. We just don't give our number to people. You gotta be aggressive, you know?
I guess
be aggressive. Yeah. Not creepy.
Yeah,
but you have to be able to go after what
I'm
you saying, want.
If I'm David Hasselhoff, I don't know if I'm going to give my phone number to some kid on the street.
Exactly, it is a tough spot. That's why you have to. It's the way you play the game. Yeah. You don't say David Hasselhoff, you know, megastar. Let me have your number. What you say is, oh, I don't have any business cards. I will text you my number right now and my name and my resume. You know, let me get back to you on that. Let me give you the things that you need, but also give me access to your life. Add me on LinkedIn, you know?
Chappelle, how old is David Hasselhoff?
No clue. He could be a million. I have no clue.
How old is David Hasselhoff? Currently, yeah.
I have no clue. What do you think?
Well, I have his Wikipedia open.
I mean, well, how old is he? 70.
Yeah, you're close. 68.
Woo, I would have went older than 70.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah,
not too bad for 70.
Yeah, probably not. You know, this is the Hoff. You know, he's larger than life. At least his persona is. And so I was happy to see him in this role. And I'm happy he gave Chris a chance. I you know, whether it was shenanigans or not, you know, they could have picked a worse celebrity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
He is seen in the episode with a young woman who may be either his significant other or daughter. It's unclear.
It is unclear. She did look young.
Yeah.
You know, not to say that she was, you know, extremely young, but they never gave her a billing as a spouse. Now, I will give you a task. Have you ever seen the model Haley Roberts?
Not that I can recall.
Okay. If you take a look at, I mean, you're at your computer. Do me a favor. Do a quick Google search. All the listeners, listen in. If you Google search Haley Roberts, Rob, I think this is our person.
Okay.
I can't remember. I don't have a photographic memory
David
or anything
Hasselhoff's
like that.
David Hasselhoff's wife. Yes.
But is this the woman from the show is what I'm asking.
Okay. Let's see.
She's very pretty. She's very blonde. What do you
is
think?
Is she the woman from the show? I'm seeing pictures of them at the premiere of Ant-Man and Wasp. I'm trying to see how far back do they go.
Any pictures of them from Maid?
From Maid? Let's see.
Yeah, no.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think this is her.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, they got married when he was 66 years old. And you say he's 68 now. So only a couple years ago.
Okay.
And she was 38 at the time. And so, yeah. So if this was Maid, you know, season, what was it? 12 or something
2012.
Like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if this is 2012, yeah, she was, you know, a little bit significantly younger.
27 year age difference. So
yeah. Well, hopefully they're happy. Mm-hmm. I will say that.
Mm-hmm. What's the math on that? A half your age plus 7,
something like that.
Does that work?
I think he might be right in that realm, actually.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So. All right, David Hasselhoff, that he is... Oh, I actually have his Wikipedia open. Do you want to know about David Hasselhoff's first film role, Chappelle?
It was not Knight Rider?
No, it was not. According to Wikipedia, that his first film role, his feature film debut was in 1974 as the character Boner in Revenge of the Cheerleaders. But then the crappy movie Diaper?
How do you know it's crap? See, how dare you? This is the Hoff. This could be a great movie. You don't know. You don't know. How do you just jump to crappy movie Diaper? Put it in the, put it on the wheel. You know? Put it on the wheel. How dare you? Do you think, have you never seen Revenge of the Cheerleaders?
No, not recently.
Like, if I had to, like, create a plot for this movie, like, in my mind, I my first instinct was to go to, like, Revenge of the Nerds. But now I kind of want it to be, like, a horror story, right?
Yeah.
Like, the cheerleaders are uprising, and he's one of the, maybe, like, a football player or something like that. And he's one of their victims.
I think
that would be, yeah. Like, the cheerleaders are usurping the patriarchy. I would like to see
that. Might not be bad. And Boner, you would think he's probably going to die.
Ooh, this is the Renap table read. Let's do it.
Revenge of the Cheerleaders.
Yeah. You can be Boner. I'll let you be Boner.
Chappelle, have you ever seen Knight Rider?
I have. I know Kit very well. Yes.
Yes. You like Knight Rider?
I did. I don't have an opinion about Knight Rider. Mm-hmm. It's a show that was on TV.
Yes. Second podcast today, talk about Knight Rider.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
What else are you talking about?
With Phil Kogan called it Knight Rider.
Yeah, well, Knight Rider came up in our clubhouse, a little group that we had when we were talking about TV theme songs.
Yes.
Yeah. Did it make the first theme song bracket? It did?
I don't recall if it did. I think Jess said it came up on the community podcast also this week, Knight Rider.
Look at him! Big week for the Hoff. Yeah. Having the best week ever.
Yes. Okay. Maybe him and Queen Latifah are showing up on all the podcasts.
The Dana Owens. She's, look, they're Renap superstars. I have superstars.
Okay. So then we have like another side quest for Chris. BJ tells him we need a 2-5 page proposal. Who were these guys? These guys were like planning something.
Okay. So it was, look, Rob, this is probably more up your alley. Who? So it was Jack Wagner.
Yeah.
And was it,
Jack Wagner?
Do I know him?
Should I know Jack Wagner?
I mean, yes. Did you not watch Melrose Place?
Okay. No, I did not.
Rob, how dare you? What was the other guy's name? No, is it Ken Schreiner? Like,
I don't know.
Yeah, it was Ken Schreiner and Jack Wagner, which they're both soap stars, basically. So Jack Wagner is known from General Hospital, and so is Ken Schreiner. So it was kind of like, we have these two soap opera people, and we're going to let Chris... his next task have to deal specifically with them and planning their, was it a party?
Well, yeah, I think that they were like trying to have a play, and I don't know if they wanted to like have investors come in. I couldn't tell if they were the investors, but whatever. BJ said, "Plan, write a proposal," and Chris is like, mm-hmm. "Well, I guess I'm not sleeping ever."
Yeah, again, sir, mm-hmm. you want to be a celebrity assistant, and they ask you to write a proposal. This seems like very baseline things. Like, go look up venues for this thing. And then give me the list of them and the prices and tell me what's good and what's bad about them. That seems kind of like standard. It could have been worse. I just don't think he was invested.
No. And then he half-assed it. And then he gave BJ like a legal pad with here's some venues. And BJ's like, this isn't what I asked for. Wait, I want a proposal. You gave me venues.
Yeah. He like just jotted down a few places like, oh, yeah, I know a place we could get for cheap. Like, sir, did you do any research into this? Spoiler, Chris did not. He was just like, he's kind of checked out at this point. He hasn't said it specifically at this point, but you can tell by his actions that he's only given this like, you know, about 30%.
He's over it.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And then the guys are not super impressed also. And I feel like that they're also marks for this episode. Like, they're like, they just like can't wait to basically just like dress him down of like, what the hell is this? You want to be a celebrity assistant? You moron.
They weren't that bad. Mm-hmm. They weren't that bad. I think, 2012, Ken Schreiner was on... I'm sorry, Jack Wagner was on, like, Dancing with the Stars with one of my faves, Anna Trebunskaya. And so, yeah, I think he was just trying to, like, you know, get some browning points from maybe the voting audience. So he wasn't too mean. I don't know what the hell Ken Schreiner was doing, but okay.
BJ says that you failed me.
Yeah. He's like, again... You're not doing this job well at all. You know, it doesn't seem like you're trying. The funny thing though is that like Chris, that's his trigger word, fail, right? So Chris is actively not trying, but also getting so upset anytime someone says you're not doing great, you're doing poorly. It's like he wants positive feedback from absolutely nothing. Yeah. And it's not working. BJ does not speak that language.
Do you think that getting inside of Chris's head, do you feel like that he doesn't try? Because if he tries, then he really would have failed. Yeah.
Yeah. He's like, I didn't care about this, so it doesn't matter. Or I didn't give it my all,
I could have, but I didn't.
Yeah, I could definitely do it, but I'm so mad at BJ that, you know, I can't even focus on doing, like, I could do this job with my eyes closed, but BJ, you're really kind of just getting on my nerves. I'm going to call the cops on you. And that's a direct quote.
Yeah, that's coming up. Because then Chris is going to go home to Virginia. BJ, I guess, is, you know, that invested in this, that he follows him and shows up in Virginia a week later. They tell him that, okay, BJ is here. He's not happy. And he does say that, call the police.
Yeah. Yeah, he does. You know, my opinions about the police have been well documented at this point. Mm-hmm. But you don't call the police on somebody because you're annoyed, especially not a black man. But whatever, Chris, I get it. He's been a little dramatic. It's fine.
Yes.
You know, but I do think that this was one of the moments where it brought me back to classic Maid, because in the old Maid, you're
old Maid.
Not to be confused with the card game.
Yeah.
In the old episodes, the coach would show up to the school. Or to the hometown. This was one of the first times I ever seen somebody like, no, we'll fly you out. And so I was happy that they kind of got back to their roots on this one.
Sure. And of course, like all like super contrived, like at the point where, you know, that Chris is being filmed at his job in Virginia. I think he knows BJ is showing up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Like the camera's here. Like if you have quit or you're done being made, you would think the camera's like, pack it up, let's go.
Yeah.
But you know, the camera's at his job talking to his boss, you know, they're mm-hmm. doing all these interviews, so he knows BJ is coming at some point. I don't know if he knew BJ was coming to his place of employment. Maybe he thought like, oh, we're just filming some like b-roll and like later on he'll be here. But yeah, when he popped up, Chris, he did look legitimately upset.
Yeah. So all right, BJ is back to train Chris. He gets some time off from work and he gets a new assignment to work on. I didn't really understand what he's doing here. Like, BJ wants him to have a party, but a party for what, Chappelle?
This was ridiculous. He says, okay, Chris, the summer solstice is approaching and we have to have a party for that. It's the longest day of the year. It's the most daylight you're ever going to get. Let's have a party. okay, this seems like a pretty decent task for someone like Chris. Chris says he wants to be an event planner. His friends are ranting and raving about the parties that he's been able to throw in the past. So you would think this is pretty simple. And you will find out very quickly. No, it's not. I like that he says, like, at this point, Chris hasn't heard back from David Hasselhoff at all.
No.
So like, this is just to kind of keep him, you know, in rotation, you know, keep him from getting rusty. You know, they got things to do. And I don't think they only got a month to get it done.
Yeah. Chappelle, you have any summer solstice parties planned for 2021?
I'll probably be at home. Mm-hmm. I never know when the summer solstice is until the day of. Like, someone will say, it's the longest day of the year. And I'll go, it sounds about right. Like, it definitely feels like it. But no, summer solstice is one of those things that, like, people who watch Avatar: The Last Airbender care about. Nobody else cares about it.
I think this year, maybe any excuse to have a party, maybe by like the middle of June.
Yeah. Just give me a reason to leave the house. I'm fully vaxxed as of today, Rob.
Oh, congratulations.
So I will be out of the house. I'll still be wearing my mask and staying away from, you know, yucky people with germs and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I feel a little bit more comfortable. So I could see myself having a summer solstice party. Maybe. Yeah. It won't be that many people there and we will be far away from each other and I'll be wearing my mask. But at least I will feel like I won't die.
Well, I hope your party goes better than Chris's, because this was kind of a bust.
Well, yeah. So Chris throws a fit. First, he's like, look, I'm ready to quit. I haven't heard anything back from Hasselhoff. I don't like being someone's B word, you know. And, you know, BJ basically says, like, look, you're spoiled. And that's okay. That's just your personality. That's just who you are. But it's not going to work for you. Do you remember Chris's response to being called spoiled?
I do not.
He says, I'm not spoiled. I'm lucky.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. This is the kind of person we're dealing with here. You could be both. You could be both.
Yeah.
And I believe that he is very much both. So yeah, what is this? Day 13 rolls around and the party has started. And there were maybe five people at this party.
Yeah.
What is that about?
Yeah. BJ's like, this party is terrible. And Chris is like, no, it's not. It's great. What are you talking about? It's a great party.
Having a good time. We've seen Chris's friends, his family throughout this episode, and it seemed like three of his friends showed up. This man has been surrounded by people all episode. Like, every time you cut to him, oh, we have, like, let's cut to friend number five on Chris and let's look at Chris. Chris has like eight siblings. None of these people were at the party. You mean to tell me you could only get five people? He's not trying, Rob.
No, he's not trying. And eventually, like, his friend tells him, like, Chris, what are you doing? Like, you're better than this. You could throw a party. He's like, yeah, well, like, I do it when I feel like doing it. He's like, well, don't you want to be a celebrity assistant? Don't you have to do it on their schedule?
Yeah. He doesn't get the concept. Mm-hmm. He's like, you know, you do have to assist celebrities at some point. And Chris is like, but I don't want to. Like, I don't like this. And she's like, well, what did you sign up for? Did you not think that you would have to do this? He's like, well, I'm just not used to people telling me what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Then why do you want this job? Why did you sign up for this? What are you talking about? It's insane.
All right. So it seems like that after Chris tells BJ he wants to murder him, it seems like they have a breakthrough a little bit.
Yeah. BJ comes to Chris's house, like his actual home, you know, and he's like sitting with their family and Chris makes him dinner. And immediately he's like, BJ, do you like dinner? And BJ's like, oh, yeah, everybody likes food. He's like, good, because I might have poisoned yours. Like, okay, that's a choice. But BJ, you know, he takes it in stride. And, you know, Chris finally has his breakdown where he's just like, look, I don't like you. I don't like this. I'm joking about wanting to poison you. But honestly, I just don't want you around me anymore. And I think that's when he finally gets through to BJ. And BJ's like, look, you need to have a thicker skin. Like, this is not for the weak. This is a job that you will need to be strong and you will need to be confident in what you're in your abilities. And you're not going to be able to let someone like me, who you are not assisting, you know, run you off and deter you from your goal. So, yeah, that's when they kind of have their, you know, their moment of, you know, agreement that Chris is going to do better and BJ might be a little bit nicer.
Okay. So, all right. BJ is going to get Chris working on some other projects. This is sort of like a very quick montage that BJ explains that a lot of people have pets, celebrities have pets. So he's now like learning how to like wash like poodles.
Yeah, this is the training montage. Like, I think you called him Mr. Miyagi earlier, but this is definitely like the Rocky, like punching the meat,
the meat
and stuff like that. Yeah, and running up the steps. Yeah, this is, you're the best around. You know, like, he got the theme song in the background. Yeah, he goes and he has to practice dog grooming or dog sitting.
Yeah.
And Chris seems like, okay, he's invested. He'll give it a shot. And he does okay. And he also gets business cards. So this is a big breakthrough because that was one of his first failed tasks.
Yeah. Chappelle, do you have any pets?
No.
Yeah.
I would like a pet snake, like a really big one.
Yeah.
But because snakes don't take that much like day-to-day effort. You just kind of feed them. And then you take pictures with them. And I'm okay with that. And I can leave them and travel and come back. And I can have someone snake sit. And I don't have to worry about it getting out and getting loose. You know, in my mind, I'm sure the snake owners are like, no, you're going to miss out on. Yeah, you have to make sure. Like, yeah, whatever. But in my mind, I would have a huge, like, you know, like what's the Britney Spears snake? I'm a slavery snake. Like, I would have that.
The but python?
Like in a terrarium. Yeah. One of those. I would have one of those, but like in a terrarium or something. Yeah, that's my goal. Animals, like, he's like rats and stuff. Yeah, I have a little brother. He can't eat it. Well, I think he could eat it, but I wouldn't let him eat my little brother. But we'd have to talk about it.
Yeah. Wait, so your little brother would feed the snake?
Sure, that's what I was saying.
Yeah,
I definitely wasn't saying I would feed my brother to the snake. He's a grown man. He's healthy. You know, if the snake needed to eat, you know,
okay,
whatever.
All right.
No, yeah. Yeah, he would feed it. That's what I say.
All right.
He would
feed it. Chris is then he's going to like work with a family on like cleaning their house. He's like vacuuming their car.
No. You're giving Chris way too much credit. He works with his family.
Yeah.
Chris would never clean someone else's family's house, but his family has taken the task of like saying, okay, you want to be somebody's personal assistant? I will make you do something.
Wow.
And you have to imagine this is Chris's first time cleaning everything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, their house, not to say that Chris is lazy or that he's never cleaned anything, but what I'm saying is that this is a huge house. And this family has like, it looks like they have boats and all kinds of stuff. Like, they got multiple cars. It's a pretty well off, you know, group of individuals. And so, yeah, you have to believe that they might be willing to pay someone to do something. Yeah, they're lucky, very lucky. And you have to believe that we might be willing to pay somebody to do this work that they're getting Chris to do. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's kind of his boot camp training is like, OK, now I have to, you know, God forbid, but I have to actually do stuff for other people.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that's going to help him be a better assistant one day.
OK, so they get a call. David Hasselhoff's assistant is coming for a meeting. All right. Get your ass back out here, Chris. Time to go work for the Hoff.
Yeah, this is like the finale, right? Like, this is what we've been waiting on. Mm-hmm. He got the call from David Hasselhoff, who definitely wasn't a plant, who wasn't in on all of this.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes to LA and BJ is like giving him like the Jeff Probst massage. Like, okay, you know, get in there, champ. He's just have confidence. It'll be okay. You've talked to David Hasselhoff before. This is fine. And he goes and when he rings the doorbell and David Hasselhoff has his assistant open the door to interview his other assistant. That is a flex, Rob.
Yes.
That is a flex. If you have your assistant, you know, opening the door for your assistant's assistant so that he can interview him, so that he can be your assistant's assistant, that is cool. I want to be a place like that one day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Where do you see yourself? You're the Hasselhoff in that chain?
Of course. I'm not going to be the assistant of the assistant.
Mm-hmm. But you could be the assistant with an assistant.
I could be the assistant with this. I don't knock that. But yeah, Chris's part isn't ideal. But yeah, I just thought that was so cool. Like, oh yeah, like I'm interviewing you, but actually my assistant's going to interview you because you're really his assistant. Yeah. I'm just kind of like passing this down the food chain.
Do you think we can't find a Chappelle's assistant on Twitter?
I have a guy in mind.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. We don't have to talk about him.
Well, and then we have to get that guy an assistant.
No,
that person an assistant. Yeah.
No, he's good. Yeah, he's got a strong resume. He's a good one. He's an Enneagram 6, so he's used to making sure things don't, you know, get too out of whack. He's a troubleshooter.
Okay. So Hasselhoff has some rules, okay? They're talking about like, okay, it's 24/7 everything when you work for Hasselhoff. They'll say off training goes everywhere. What does that mean?
No, he said the Hoff train.
Oh, choo, Hoff choo. Train goes everywhere. Yeah. Okay.
The Hoff train. He got to keep the Hoff train on the tracks, Hoff right? Train,
what is Hoff train? Yes. Okay, the Hoff train.
He
got it.
He gives him a list, like a like an Excel document almost. Or like, look, bam, these are all the cool things Hasselhoff is doing today.
You know what I remembered? Chappelle, you ever watch that video where David Hasselhoff is like super drunk and is like eating like a giant hamburger on the phone? You remember that viral video?
I do remember
video?
That video, actually, yeah.
Yeah, I think this was like right after that. Like, I think that Hasselhoff had like I want to say that was probably like 2008 or 2009, drunk, passed out Hasselhoff on the floor eating the hamburger. Yeah. And then I kind of feel like he had a comeback after that.
Yeah. So the video was leaked or whatever. And this was around the time.
Which assistant did that?
You know, you would. Do you think it was Chris?
Okay.
Yeah. But no, the footage was released. You know, someone would say deliberately or whatever, and it wasn't great.
That was 2007. So
yeah, this wasn't great. David Hasselhoff struggled with alcoholism, and so this was kind of like the low point of him, that video. And so yeah, I think this is after his like this is his comeback.
Yeah,
but I have to wonder, since this was pre-Chris, I have to wonder if this assistant was kind of like there was an assistant to the assistant, and he got fired because he was behind the leaked video.
Yeah, no, so. Apparently, this is his daughter leaked the video.
Oh, well, we didn't get to meet her.
Yeah, she wasn't in this. Okay.
Yeah, okay.
Yes. And so, yeah.
Drama.
This is his daughter. And this was a spry 54-year-old Hasselhoff in the video.
Yeah, look, the Hoff has been going through a lot. But yeah, I think at this point, that's probably why he needs the new assistant.
Get the Hoff train back on the tracks. Yeah.
Choo-choo.
Keep him on the tracks.
Yeah, you got to get everything back on the tracks. You know, so yeah, kudos to him for getting his life together.
Yeah. Okay. Look at him. Now he has two assistants. Okay.
Yeah.
So he also has a pig.
Yeah. I don't think the pig had a name. Mm-hmm. He was just like, let the pig out of the kennel. First of all, do pigs stay in kennels? Is that where you keep pigs?
This is staying like a pen or a sty, right?
A sty, right? Like, but I guess most homes don't have a sty.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like, go get the pig out of the kennel. So this was like, okay, we're putting your training to test right here, right? You've dog-sitted for all these celebrities, like, you know, for to train for these celebrities. How can you handle a 400-pound pig?
No, that was not a 400-pound pig.
How do you know?
That was not a 400-pound pig.
How do you know?
Is going to be like a giant thing.
He carried it well. It carried it well, but that definitely
the pig was 100 pounds.
I mean,
maybe
Wilbur was some pig for sure. Yeah, definitely some pig. I'm with you. I don't know if it was 400 pounds. Yeah, exactly. but and salutations to that pig, wherever it is. Mm-hmm. But I would say that it didn't look 400 pounds, but if the Hoff said it, I kind of have to go with it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. So also, Hasselhoff has a rule of don't let the dog in the pool. The dog will drown if it goes in the pool. Okay. No matter what happens, don't let the dog in the pool.
See, me being a snake person, I was under the impression that all dogs could just swim. Like, it's not something they need to be taught. It's just an ability that they have. Am I incorrect in that? Like, do all cats not land on their feet all the time?
I think a dog could, I think the dog can do the doggy paddle, but I don't know if they can all do it successfully.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the Hoff was like, look, the pig can swim.
Yeah.
Focus on the dog. The dog cannot, you know? And so of course, like clockwork, the dog jumps right on in the pool.
That also seemed like a plant. It seemed like that.
You think the dog was in on this?
Yeah, I think that they know the dog goes in the pool. And then
the dog, that's his thing.
That's
the dog's
thing.
Like in the pool every day.
I think
the
dog could swim. Yeah.
You think so?
Yeah.
All right. Oh, well, okay. I'm not saying I disagree. But what I'm saying is, it was more to see if Chris would be willing to go in and save the dog. And he was.
Yeah.
So I liked seeing that from Chris.
Would you let your snake go in the pool?
Can snakes swim?
I think they go in the water. Yeah.
Yeah. I think snakes could go. Yeah, of course I would. If it could swim, don't call the people on me if like maybe snakes are allergic to chlorine. I don't know this. You guys, if you're listening to this, I don't know anything about snakes. I just want one. I will do the research. I don't own a pool. It'll be fine. Don't worry. I need an assistant to go and save my drowning snake.
That's the test. Like, what if the snake is in the pool? What are you, crazy?
Go get my python. Are you serious? Luckily, Chris wasn't afraid of the dog. Some people are terrified of dogs.
Yeah, but this was like a little tiny dog.
It doesn't matter. If you're afraid of dogs, it doesn't matter how big the dog is.
In one hand.
Look, people who are afraid of spiders are afraid of all spiders, not just huge ones, but the tiny ones too. Mm-hmm. But we knew Chris was not afraid of dogs because he'd already went through his dog battle training mm-hmm. in the dog sitting task.
Yeah, so, and we saw him with the 100-pound pig also. Okay.
400.
All right, big task coming up. It's David Hasselhoff's 65th birthday. Do you believe that David Hasselhoff and his team put Chris fresh in town in charge of planning the 65th birthday gala for David Hasselhoff?
First of all, stop being disrespectful. It was his 60th birthday, Rob. Oh, we just talked 60. About this.
Sorry about that.
I mean, he's almost 70, and this was 2012.
He's pushing 70. Yeah.
He's pushing 70. And so, yeah, no, let's give him what he deserves, Rob.
They said 65. I wasn't making a joke.
No, you're probably right. I just realized that the math wouldn't check out if he's 65 and this was 2012.
Yeah.
But yeah, okay. So here's the thing. This is a momentous occasion for the Hoff, but he has an actual assistant. This is his assistant's assistant. Yeah. So yeah, I don't mind them throwing Chris into the deep end here, because is he really in the deep end? Like, he mm-hmm. still has the good assistant there.
Yeah. No, yeah. Nick, the assistant, gets totally hosed here. Chris gets all the credit for this.
All of it. But I think it's because Nick has a job, mm-hmm. right? So it's kind of like you bring somebody an internship. You say, take your kid to work day or something like that. Your kid comes in, they do some filing. Everybody gives them like a ribbon, like, oh, you've done so great. Like, oh my gosh. And then you, the person who's actually been like showing them the ropes all day, you don't get anything. Why? Because you get a paycheck.
Yeah.
And so, you know, at the end of this, Chris still has to go home to Virginia, whereas Nick, the assistant, he is employed. And I think that's enough. Also, he had help planning the 60th birthday for David Hasselhoff. So I don't think, you know, he didn't get any praise, but mm-hmm. it was less work on his part for sure.
Yeah. And it's a big hit. And, you know, we have Chris, who doesn't know anything about Los Angeles. He gets this venue, gets all these people to come. And then he gets freaking Kit, the car from Knight Rider, to come.
Yay!
But Chris didn't have any connections for the hookup to get Kit.
Kit was coming regardless. This is the Hoff's 60th birthday.
I guess Kit would be like a real jerk of a car if it didn't come to Hasselhoff's birthday.
Exactly. Like, you know, the Hoff is looking for him. You know, like, he's like, okay, you know, like, hey, has Kit made it yet? He's like, no, I don't think he's going to mm-hmm. make it, David. Like, you know, and they're like, oh, no, you know, last time we talked, he said he might make it. And then he comes outside, he's like, oh my God, Kit, it's you. And then Kit's like, oh, yeah, it's me. Yeah. So,
if you have a talking car, do you need two assistants?
It's a good question. I think so. I mean, what can the car rescue your dog from the pool?
See, I don't know. I don't think the car can rescue the dog from the pool. But I feel like in 1982, you know, the talking car is like has limited uses. But I kind of feel like now that Kit, you know, 2021 Kit has Bluetooth, like do a lot of stuff. I feel like no.
You think Kit has been upgraded?
I think it's been upgraded. Yeah,
Kit has a backup camera. He's got like heated seats now, and
can play, you know, a podcast, like, if you ask. Right.
Oh yeah. Completely like compatible with your Apple device. But still, can it capture your 400-pound pig? No.
It could like probably pull up in front of the pig and like open the door.
It could run it over for sure. I don't know if the pig would have enough wherewithal to get in the kit. And so, yeah.
Dial into a Zoom?
We could definitely do that. Yeah, Kit could handle all of that. I think Kit was doing a lot of things back in mm-hmm. Knight Rider. He wasn't just like hanging out and talking. You know, like he was a functional like partner to, you know, the Hoff. So yeah, he had to be there. But you probably need an assistant too. Like, look, you at least need tech support, right? Mm-hmm. If Kit is like anything, any product that I know, like he's going to malfunction at some point, and turning it off and turning it back on isn't going to help all the time. So you at least need an IT person, if mm-hmm. nothing else. Yeah.
Would Knight Rider work as a reboot, Chappelle?
Okay. So give me the plot of Knight Rider. What was the main, because all I know off the top of my head is that like it was like a crime drama.
Yeah.
I'm assuming David Hasselhoff, who was Michael Knight at the time, was he a cop?
He was a lone crime fighter battling of evil with a virtually indestructible and artificially intelligent supercar.
He was a vigilante?
According to IMDb, he's an undercover cop who was seriously wounded nursed back to health by a mysterious benefactor. And then he regains his consciousness as a new man with a new face and a new name.
Right. That's
what happened to his face?
I mean, yeah. Who played?
Do you think that he was a less handsome man and then they gave him like a more handsome Hasselhoff face?
Ooh, the question is who played, you know, pre Knight Rider, Michael Knight.
I bet he just wakes up in the first episode.
No, Rob. That's not fun at all.
You think there was another guy that played like sort of a more homely Michael Knight?
No, but I think we should be casting him right now. Oh. Like who's the 70-year-old right now who could have played like, you know,
David Hasselhoff now?
No, yeah. Future Hoff could definitely play like
Future Hoff plays himself, and then he wakes up, and then we have like a young hot Hoff.
Yeah, I mean, I had no clue that's how Knight Rider started. I think the only 70-year-old celebrity I can think of right now is like Kurt Russell.
Hmm.
But I don't think Kurt Russell is less hot. I think he's like you know, like parallel to, you know, like a Hoff.
Hmm. Yeah.
Maybe Bill Murray. Bill Murray was pre-Hoff. Mm-hmm. There you go. That's my take.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Is it interesting, a talking car now? Or everything talks now?
Everything talks. My car talks. Your car doesn't talk?
No, not really.
I get in the car and it's Bluetooth connected or something like that.
That's about it. Yeah.
Yeah. And then if I say call Rob and it'll say calling and then it'll F up your last name. Mm-hmm. And yeah, or it'll like start dialing random numbers, even though I told it specifically who to call. So yeah, it talks a little bit. It's just not, you know, very like functional. You know, you can't really like have a conversation with it per se.
How about this? Mm-hmm. Knight Rider reboot and Michael Knight has like, it's sort of like a romantic relationship with the car. It's like a will they or won't they?
No, like they're falling for each other.
Yeah.
No. We don't do that. No. I don't like. Ooh, what's the movie? Is it Joaquin Phoenix falls in love with that?
Yeah,
yeah. Don't do that. We don't like. No. That's uncomfortable. I hear it was a good movie,
mm-hmm.
but that what's the movie where the guy falls in love with the lady falls in love with the fish.
Yeah,
That is the Shape of Water. Grinding Nemo.
Yeah.
I'm good. I'm good on Grinding Nemo. I don't. Anytime someone's like
Grinding Nemo,
I didn't say that. I'm good on any movie that is like, oh no, we have a person. Like a Beauty and the Beast situation. Like they really need to be a person. I don't like to intertwine that kind of stuff.
Okay, it might be interesting. I'm just saying we need a twist on it because everything talks.
Who's our new Michael Knight? Like who's the guy? Like, yeah, like the 2021, who's our like Timothy Chalamet? Is this our guy? Is he the new Michael Knight?
Michael B. Jordan.
Yeah, he's everything these days, right? I guess that work. And he's driving
the
a
new
Ford
Knight
Fusion.
Rider, and also has a thing for the car,
right? And the car is a Ford Fusion. It's a curvy car. It's a curvy car. Yeah. Okay, that's fine, Rob. We can workshop it. We don't have to get into this too much.
Okay. So yeah. Well, what a great night for Knight Rider.
Michael Knight. Yeah.
So then he did it. And Hasselhoff is like talking to his sister, like, boy, I really like this kid. He doesn't get rattled.
Yeah. I like the cut of his jib. You know, he's got spunk. This guy's got he's got what it takes. He's going to make it one day. Yeah. You're going to be a contender, kid. Yeah, I liked it. I love how their gift to Chris, you know, after like you pulled off this big party. It's my 60th birthday. I had a red carpet. The paparazzi was here. You had like lights and streamers and a fathead cardboard cutout of like
which was in his house. Yeah, he's just taken from his house.
But he was holding like a Starbucks cup. Like, why is that in your house and also at your party? But you know, he had all these things. He had streamers and VIP section and like the bottle girls with the sparklers. He did all of this, and they're like, okay, to show your appreciation for you accomplishing your goal of like proving your worth as a celebrity assistant, we have given you a Hot Wheels car in a box.
Yes.
It's Kit. Look, you guys, it's Kit in a box. And I signed it. This is for you. It's Kit.
Yeah.
I was like, that, I know Hot Wheels when I see it. That is a Hot Wheels car. Might be Matchbox, but it looks a little bit more high-end than Matchbox. This is definitely a Hot Wheel car on a stand that they glued together. It's embarrassing.
Yeah. Chris said, this is my Grammy.
This is his Grammy. Mm-hmm. This is a Grammy. He should do like Adele did and just break it and just hand half of it to the assistant, the real assistant.
Yeah.
To Nick.
Split it with
you get part of it and then I get part of it and then we split it. Yeah. Because we were both, or give one to BJ. Just anytime.
Yeah. Where was BJ? Did BJ get invited to the Hasselhoff birthday party?
Oh yeah, he was definitely there because Chris was like thumbing through his nose.
He's like,
well,
yo, this is actually a really good party.
I don't see you on the list. No, yeah. I don't know if you can get in. BJ says, no, I am the list. Because you have to know BJ made this happen, right? BJ is like calling Hoff like, look, I just need you to do me this one favor. Just let the kid hang out.
Yeah.
You know, let him stick around. Let him do some tasks. It'll be fine. And Hoff's like, oh, okay, I guess. Yeah. As long as he doesn't leak any videos of me.
Because this was good free publicity for BJ also.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, had it not been for this episode, I'd never know who he was.
Yeah. And he went on to do more stuff. So good for BJ. All right. And then that's the episode of Made.
Yeah. That was fun, right?
Yeah, that was fun. I like this one.
Is this your first episode of Made?
I don't think I've ever seen it before.
Wow.
I've seen a lot of MTV True Life, but that's different.
You've seen a lot of True Life?
I feel like that the one iconic one that's like burned in my brain was MTV True Life, Jersey Shore. And then I feel like that was sort of like the premise pilot for the Jersey Shore TV show.
Yeah, I didn't know if it came first, but I definitely knew it was a thing, right? Like, so I thought like maybe the show might have been first and then they like tried to like show you like, no, this is a real thing.
Mm-hmm.
But your version sounds a lot better because I could see them like seeing these characters on True Life and saying, oh, you know, we have to find more people like this, you know?
Yeah, that made sense. All right, Chappelle, anything else from this episode of Made?
No, this was cool. Again, there's a million episodes of Made because there's 15, 16 seasons or something like that. If you guys want to go back and listen or watch or Made, I guess it's on Paramount Plus. There's 3 seasons on there. But honestly, I think if you dig deep and like get into like, you know, the dark corners of the internet, you can find the good stuff, right? Because Made was on for a very long time, but I think if you can get into the dark ages of the of reality TV, you can find like the true gems in May. You might even find a couple of those rap episodes too.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, if anybody was interested in that, let me know if you have a Made memory or, you know, or like a Made episode. You know, Rob, I heard Brian Scully was on Made.
Oh, he was?
Apparently he was in High School Musical too.
So he was in High School Musical the number 2, or he was in High School Musical as well,
also,
in addition to being on Made?
I think he was made into a cast, like a background cast member of High School Musical too.
There was an episode of Made that Brian Scully was featured in?
That's the rumor. I saw it on Twitter.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
It is. I was like, wow.
How did he not tell us this when he was on with us a couple of weeks ago?
Would you tell us this if you were on?
How did we not watch that episode?
Look, I mean, I tried to find it.
Chappelle, you're messing with me.
I don't know this to be true. I saw it on Twitter.
It's a rumor.
I saw it on Twitter. I didn't tweet it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was there ever an episode of Made where somebody wanted to be a maid?
Oh, like, could you make me into a housekeeper?
Yes. The maid.
Probably Chris. This episode was pretty close to that. You know, at some point, he ended up doing a lot of housekeeping. He probably felt like that at some point. You know, he, like yourself, he referred to him as a junior deputy firewood bitch at some point, right? He was like, oh, I'm tired of people. Yeah, he didn't like that.
BJ was his butch. Yeah.
His butch. Yeah, that's what the B stands for.
Although Butch was never mean.
BJ mean?
He was a little bit, I think he was like trying to get Chris to crack. I mean, Chris was an easy mark, but I do think that BJ wanted to, basically he was like hazing him.
Very much so. Yeah. This was one of those like moments where BJ was just being stern, you know?
Yeah.
There was tough love there, but I don't think he was mean. But yeah, no, Butch, I don't think Butch has this.
No. Chappelle, can we talk about what we're going to look at next week on the RHAP Rewind?
Ooh, yeah, let's talk about it. So I've been reaching out to people because I like a lot of reality shows. I've seen them all, honestly, and it's very embarrassing sometimes, but sometimes it's very fun because you'll find other people who've seen the shows that you've seen. And I was listening to Renap one week and you guys had Shannon Gus on there. And Shannon was saying, I believe this was Match Game, right? Last time she was on Renap. She was saying, you know, she was on America's Next Top Model, Tyra Banks' search for the next supermodel. And
Australia.
But she was Australia. Yeah, yes. The Australian version of this show, right? I don't know which one came first. I assume the American one came first, but that might just be, you know, hegemony or whatever they call it. Ethnocentrism, you know. But anyway, all that to say, she would talk to us about it, right? Yeah. So she doesn't want anybody to ever watch the episode she was on, but she would be willing to give us our insight. And so I think next week we're going to talk about America's Next Top Model, season 6, probably episode 3 or so, whatever episode they do the makeover on, with Shannon and Haley Strong. And I'm very excited.
What a panel.
I'm doing so much work behind the scenes to get these iconic people to talk to me. I'm like shocked that they know who I am, Rob. I'm like, hey, Haley Strong, don't you want to talk to me? And she's like, who are you? Like, but no, Haley Strong's great. Shannon's great. Yeah. And I'm so happy that they want to like hang out with us for this ridiculous task that we have.
Chappelle, once you get your celebrity assistant going from Twitter, that then they can reach out to all these people and get the wheels turning and get everything set up, and you could just show up like Hasselhoff.
I told you, I know a guy. He's a 6, and he's good at scheduling and planning things. Mm-hmm. A little neurotic sometimes, and also kind of pushy. But I think he would do well.
Yeah.
With helping me, get these things scheduled. Yeah, yeah. It sounds like a good one.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Chappelle, what else are you up to these days?
Rob, I'm hanging out. Yeah. Still doing coverage of The Walking Dead, Rob. I'm still devastated that you won't actually come talk to me about it. Mm-hmm. It's been riveting. And Fear of the Walking Dead is on its way as well on post-show recaps. And so Jess Lease and myself will be talking about that, until we run out of episodes, it seems. Or until maybe the show gets so bad that they stop it. But, you know, it can only go up at this point.
Yeah.
It can only go up at this point, Rob. I kid you not. It could not get any worse. So that's going on. I've also talked to the Bryce Isaiah on the Purple Pants podcast recently about our once a month movie thing that we do. Bryce has given me the glorious opportunity to talk to him, and I love every second of it. But this week we talked about, well, this month, I'm sorry, we talked about the movie Set It Off, starring Queen Latifah, the Dana Owens. And yeah, so we talked about it. It was a long conversation. I had to reel Bryce in a lot, as usual. But I think that one will be dropping very soon as well. And then, of course, Rob, I will be back here with you whenever you want me. If you call me, I will answer and we can talk.
Okay. All right. Next week, Chappelle, Shannon, Gus, Haley Strong talking about America's Next Top Model. Season 6, episode 3-ish. We'll find out. We'll figure it out.
I'm pretty sure it's episode 3. That's normally around the time they do the makeovers. But if it's episode 2, we'll let you know.
Okay. Of course, if you missed it this week, we talked about the 28th best season of all time. It was Survivor Fiji on our panel with Aaron Robertson and Gia Worthy. That was a lot of fun as we continue on my 13th season of Survivor. I'm approaching the 1/3 mark.
Yeah, you are. Rob, I haven't had a chance to listen to the podcast yet. Could you tell me what is next?
You can. That on this upcoming Wednesday, I will talk about Survivor Guatemala, the 27th best season of all time.
Ah, yes. Guatemala. You know, the last time a Survivor season happened with absolutely no black people. I remember it vividly. No, I'm very excited to hear you talk about Guatemala. I do like the season. We get to revisit one of the winners at war, you know, that didn't really get a lot of shine in Winners at War, but also really didn't get a lot of shine in Guatemala. So I will be listening. Stealth in every sense of the word. So I will be looking forward to listening to that for sure.
Yeah. Okay. And then, of course, everything else we have going on over at RHAP. It's the start of a brand new month. A great time to become a patron of Rob Has a Podcast, as we have a ton of patron activities going on right now. We have our 200th episode of the Patron 5 for 5 coming up on Tuesday night with the first lady of podcasting, my wife, Nicole, who was one of the hosts of the Wives of News AF. This week, so much going on. It's the great time to jump in at the start of the month, because if you don't like it, you can leave before the start of the next month. So you get basically the whole month to try it out, and we'll be doing a special onboarding orientation for all the new patrons at the end of the month. Go to robswebsite.com/patron for more information.
Yeah, it's the first of the month. That's what Bone Thugs and Harmony says.
Yes.
And I think about that every time I have to pay rent. So yeah. this is a perfect time. You know, you start at the end of the month, you don't get your money's worth. Well, but now you get to jump right in when everything is starting, you know?
Bone Thugs and Harmony, they were thinking about, like, okay, what are the things that we could just, like, that people will always talk about this? And they got Crossroads. It's like, okay, every time there's a funeral, then, people will think of us there.
Yeah. Anytime you need to subscribe to a podcast, Patreon, it's the first of the month. Mm-hmm. And Bone Thugs and Harmony. Who knew that
and
they
if
would?
If you're not interested, then at the end of the month, we'll see you at the Crossroads.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Rob, I like this. We need to do a Bone Thugs deep dive soon. I'd be okay with that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I play here in my office every time a patron leaves.
Excuse me? You do?
Yeah.
Wow. Bum, 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 bum. Yes.
All right. Thank you so much for checking out the RJP Rewind. We'll be back next week with another one. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
Bye.